Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. Hi, everybody. We will start this hour with a call-in on any position you have on an issue that goes against your usual group. 212-433-WNYC. I started to explain this before the news, and I bring it up because Joan Osero was on last hour, and this mostly liberal New York Times columnist was arguing for fracking for oil and gas and for the Keystone Pipeline, the two biggest bete noirs of environmentalists these days. And it was a reminder that as much as we like to divide up into political tribes, people are actually complex and can think independent thoughts. And so I thought we would just do a call-in for a few minutes, collecting any issue on which you disagree with the people you usually agree with. Get the idea? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So if Nocera is a frequent liberal, but for fracking and for Keystone, maybe you are a conservative, but for the Obama health reform law. Maybe you're a progressive, but for privatizing Social Security. Maybe you're a union member, but for reducing public employee pensions. Maybe you're a religious conservative, but for universal contraception coverage. Maybe you're a Democrat who thinks Romney might make a good president, or a libertarian who likes Ben Bernanke, or a free market supply sider who is for a millionaire's tax. Whatever. 212-433-WNYC. You get the idea, right? We're looking for the issues on which you disagree with the people you usually agree with. And while your calls are coming in, and actually our lines are already full, so I direct you to our website at WNYC.org, where this conversation is also breaking out. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. We've got a few of them up there already. And post, I'll read some of them on the air, the issues on which you disagree with the people you usually agree with. Here's a little bit, if you missed it, of what Joan Osero said last hour about being a progressive who supports fracking and Keystone.
There are a set of issues, energy being one of them, and the plaintiff's bar being another, where I take positions that are radically different from the general readership of the New York Times. I think that's healthy. I think it's good for readers to be challenged, and they can disagree with me, but I think it's good for them to have another point of view coming from somebody who is normally sympathetic to the way they think.
That's Joan Osero. What about for you? What's the issue on which you disagree with the people you usually agree with? Jared in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Thanks for taking my call today.
So what's your issue?
I just wanted to say I identify as being a liberal in every aspect of my life. I completely support the liberal viewpoint, very progressive, except one topic, which is genetically modified food. I don't agree with my peers in regards to genetically modified food because, I mean, as an academic researcher in a lab, I know for a fact that a lot of genetically modified food, I mean, there's absolutely no problem with it. It's completely misconception, and I have a strong feeling that the health food stores and a lot of these places that advertise no genetically modified food. I love this. Love the fact that people think that there's a problem with it. And I don't support Monsanto going out and monopolizing the seed industry by putting signatures on their seeds or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I fully support being able to overexpress a protein to make a strawberry grow faster or bigger or anything like that.
Some of the skeptics will say, we don't really know from whatever you've seen in the lab whether there would be a negative impact from genetically modified foods. Maybe there's something in the genetic modification of a vegetable crop, let's say, that would wind up having it spread too fast or destroy other crops or somehow alter the balance in the ecosystem or have health effects on people that you can't measure before these things get unleashed into the environment, into the food stream for a number of years. What would you argue back?
That's totally understandable. I mean, it's a lot of this stuff is hard to explain, but I think the evidence, just based on how digestion works, and if you overexpress one protein, as soon as it enters your stomach, that protein will be completely degraded into amino acids. It'll be unrecognizable from any other amino acids from any other protein, and I just don't see how that can be a problem. And with regards to some fruit or vegetable or animal getting out and breeding with the regular population and causing population to grow too fast or anything like that, I don't see that being a problem either, because the gene would be in such a small population of the animal that natural mm-hmm. selection should overall basically lose that gene from the population.
Jared, thanks for starting us off. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Call us again. So, Jared, on the issue in which he disagrees with the people he usually agrees with, Kate in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, so what's your issue?
Well, my issue is, just like the previous caller, I consider myself very much a liberal in every way but one, which is I'm really anti-undocumented immigration. And the reason is that my husband and my sisters-in-law, my grandparents, all waited in line for their green cards for years, in many cases, including my husband. He couldn't leave the country for a long time because of his visa and this and that. And it's just, I find it, and I can't even talk about this with my friends because I feel like, being liberal, we sort of all have this great umbrella of society of, you know, let everybody come, and you know, it's on the Statue of Liberty and everything. But the fact is, my family all have waited and waited and waited, and I think we all find it a little bit irritating when people say undocumented when. We really consider it, you know, it's difficult to, when we've been in that position and we've waited
right.
to feel, you know, safe.
And of course, there's the spin on both sides of that issue with respect to the language that's used. So undocumented, gosh, it makes you sound like you just left your papers in your other jacket. And on the other side, illegal kind of, you know, outlaws an entire human being.
Exactly. So we struggle with the issue, but we have to fall on the side of please wait in line.
Right. So. And do you think it necessarily affects the length of the line? If the undocumented immigration stream was stopped, would it mean that the people in your family who've been waiting would wait any less, do you think?
If they would wait any less, I don't know. That's a good question.
But
I'm not sure I'm clear what you're saying. So,
well, you were talking about the waiting time, right, for
right.
legal immigration.
Right. Well, my husband waited, you know, he was here for, after we applied for the green card, he was waiting because it was after 9/11. He had to wait 4 years to go out back to his home country
right.
just to see his family.
Right.
So, you know, he was kind of stuck here because we couldn't go back and forth.
Yeah, here in that case. And, Kate, I get it. Thank you very much. Personal, and we're going to do another whole series coming up on things that happened to you that affected your politics. If politics is not just a spectator sport for you, but something that you've come to because of your personal experience living in society, how have your experiences shaped your politics? We'll be doing a lot on that as this election year goes along, on undocumented versus illegal. By the way, I try to avoid it altogether and just say people who are here illegally, which is not as headline-friendly shorthand, but it just says what it is instead of giving either side their spin. People who are here illegally doesn't, stereotype anybody, nor does it let them off the hook. Anyway, we're taking your calls on the issue on which you disagree with the people you usually agree with, and George in Flushing. You're on WNYC. George, thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm very conservative, but I'm afraid of the police. I believe they do not respect the law. I believe they are often dishonest and corrupt. And the only way I believe that this can be solved is by frequent sting operations, which somehow the public doesn't seem to unite in favor of, but it's the only way to stop them.
Why do you think you've come to this position if the usual conservative one would be, you know, they're in law enforcement, they're doing what they can do to reduce crime, people should be more thankful of them?
I think the cameras that have caught the police in these kind of misbehavior, can you imagine how much misbehavior there must be where there are no cameras? I'm very much afraid, and everything I've seen about the police indicates that they feel that no one is going to call them to account, that they can essentially do what they want in order to enforce their authority. I can you imagine how much is going on that we don't see on camera?
George, thank you very much. Let's go to Sherry in Brooklyn. Sherry, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing? What's your issue?
Well, I'm a liberal, been voting for Democrats since John Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And my problem is with my liberal Democratic friends who want to vote for Republicans because they don't like Obama's stance on Israel. And I disagree.
I'm not sure this fits our category. You're a liberal who's for Obama, and you're calling in to disagree with your conservative friends, right?
No, they're Democrats. They're Democrats, and they will not vote for Obama because of his stance on Israel. And I can't agree with that because, first of all, you don't vote for any candidate based on only one issue. And secondly, because the way I look at it, Israel is a sovereign nation. And maybe, you know, according to news reports, Obama's been rude to Prime Minister Netanyahu in the White House or all the rumors that are going around. But basically, what Israel needs from the U.S. is funding, which Congress assures it anyway. And Israel is the only democratic nation in the Middle East. So not supporting it is stupid. But I can't not vote for Obama just based on mm-hmm. his position on Israel.
Sherry, thank you very much. And maybe more precisely fitting the definition of what we're doing might be Sherry's friends. So if you're one of Sherry's friends, who she was just talking about, you are liberal Democrats, but now you're going to vote against Obama, maybe vote against a Democratic presidential candidate for the first time in your life, you call us up. And we have one or two open lines after some of the callers who've been on. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Julie in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Yeah. So I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm, for the most part, I tend to agree with liberals, but I don't agree with a number of the things the teachers' unions fight for, including tenure, especially after only 3 years, I think it is, in New York City. I do think that, and also on testing, I think the testing needs to be made more accurate, but I do think that teachers should be held to higher standards than they sometimes are, and not have as much job security.
Do you find yourself getting into arguments with some of your other liberal friends about this issue?
Yeah, usually ones that are teachers, I find.
Julie.
But sometimes ones that are not teachers. Yeah, some of my liberal friends just take the position that, you know, we need to support the unions and, you know, workers' rights, and I tend to agree with that, but not when it's students who are bearing the brunt of the lack of accountability.
Julie, thank you for your call. We're taking calls and posts on our website and on our Facebook and Twitter feeds on the issues on which you disagree with the people you usually agree with. Peter on Facebook wrote, "The death penalty. I think my fellow progressives are mostly opposed. I tend to take after my father, a strong New York liberal from way back. He turned around on capital punishment many years ago, said it solves nothing, deters no one, but in some cases, concludes Peter, there is simply no justice without it. I decided in my 20s that I agree." Rachel wrote, "I'm generally liberal, but I'm definitely pro-private gun ownership, and I'm not a big fan of the animal rights movement." And Mari wrote, "I'm a pro-hunting vegetarian. Maybe it's because I come from Minnesota, where hunting is part of the culture and where most hunters show a lot of respect for animals and for nature." And Terrence wrote, "If my tribe is center-left, I break over matters like unions. Yes, they have helped, but we cannot disregard how much they hold on to unsustainable payment and benefit schemes, whether public or private, though with public it seems worse." We do one more. Sandy and Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What's your issue?
I generally lean pretty right, but I'm a big supporter of fuel efficiency standards. I think that importing foreign oil is a very bad idea in terms of national security. And I suspect that there are those on the right who can't bring themselves to agree with that position because people on the left support it from an environmental perspective.
So the more typical position on the right, I think, would be that fuel efficiency standards are big government telling people what cars they have to buy, jacking up artificially the price of cars if the technology is not cheap yet to have certain fuel efficiency standards, and that the market will correct.
And screaming for increased domestic production.
Right. But you would talk back to your fellow conservatives how on those points?
I don't even think of it so much from the perspective of big government. I think of it more just that national security overrides any of those other concerns, and that domestic production might be part of the solution, but that's no reason to say that we shouldn't be driving energy independence in terms of fuel efficiency as well.
All right, Sandy, thanks a lot. And we will leave it there. Interesting call in. Good exercise in, exercising our independent thinking muscles, right? Many of us have those views, I think. The one thing, the few things that we disagree with the people we usually agree with on. And it's good to get those things into the open once in a while, right? Just to remind ourselves that we're all individuals. Anyway, you can keep posting yours to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or see what people are putting on our Facebook page or our Twitter stream. And thanks a lot for your calls on that. Coming up next, the Republican primary tour does Puerto Rico. And Kate Stone Lombardi on her book, The Mama's Boy Myth, Why Keeping Our Sons Close Make Them Stronger. And we'll take a lot of calls in that segment from mothers and sons about the mother and son relationship. Stay with us.